John Breaker One. This is Shark Pants Free Radio. Gamers, get your ears on because we're blowing the speakers out.
Grimdark Live. Weekly webcast for all things dice, dragons, demons, and a dwarf in the Warhammer worlds. Don't miss our live show on Thursdays, but for now, you've got us on sloppy seconds with our podcast with the Grimdark Gang. It's time once again for Grimdark Live.
Hey, welcome to Grimdark Live, your weekly webcast for all things dice, dragons, demons, and a dwarf in the Warhammer worlds. I'm your host, Patrick, and as always, my co-host, Steve. What do you hear? What do you say, bud?
My God, another year down.
Oh, man, I tell you what, another year. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that here we are at the end of 2019 and our last show of 2019, man. I mean, we're not going to be back until January 9th, which is that following Thursday. How do you feel about that, man? You a little sad, choked up?
No, I think it's great. I think everybody needs to take a little time off, go spend some time with your friends and your family, and then, give the game a break for a while, folks.
Yeah, well, you got to give our folks, people listening to us, a little bit of a break, too. They can't have this, this pomp and stance all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what do you got, man? What do you want to talk about today in our last show of 2019?
Well, we are going to be talking a lot tonight about the points changes that are coming up.
Oh, yeah, the FAQs.
The FAQs, and then a little bit about what armies are we wanting to play or thinking about playing in this new year that's coming up.
That's right. And, I think that's a great topic, because I got a couple of things I want to say on that. But, yeah, we're going to be definitely talking about the new updates that are happening that dropped this past Sunday officially, even though it took a couple of days through Tuesday to finally get everything out. The FAQs, what we're referring to for Age of Sigmar, the winter FAQs, as they're better wise known. We're going to really kind of get into that, and we're not going to deep dive into it, because we could really, keep everybody here until our next show. We're going to address the 6 to 7 topics that I think are meaningful. Right, Steve? Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah. First of all, every single person here can easily go on the GW website and see the changes that are relevant to their army.
Exactly.
But we're just going to talk about the top, 5 or 6.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that would be enough. And we're going to talk about, the big ones. And we also, we don't have Randy with us again tonight. The nicest guy in tabletop gaming. He's out helping Santa Claus tonight. Or was it Sanity Claus? I don't know. I can't remember which one it was. But at any rate, he's out probably hanging out with an oversized man with a bunch of midgets. Randy, we hope you have a great night tonight, and we'll see you back next year, definitely. So, Steve, but as we just said, here we are, bud. Last show of 2019. Merry Christmas to you, bud.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend, and Merry Christmas to all of our listeners out there and their extended families. And
that's right.
Take some time and enjoy the holidays this year.
That's
folks.
It. That's it. You gotta do that, man. And something? This Christmas season, I'd like to send you, Steve, off with a thought, and all of our listeners, I'd like to send you guys off with a thought, even a remembrance, if you will, if I can oblige you with it. So
lay it on me.
Here's this Christmas Eve, the 24th of December. Get around family, maybe the homeless at a local shelter, maybe if you're sitting in jail somewhere, I want you to raise your glass and give a toast on December 24th and just say something real simple. Say, here's to the night Mary's water broke. Just really just heartfelt. And I want you to remember that.
Folks, I apologize.
It's Christmas cheer, man. Seriously, what are your plans for the holidays? What are you going to be doing in the couple of weeks that you're going to be grimdark-less? You're not
going
to be
hanging out with a lot of my cousins. Going to the movies. I have a lot of movies I want to catch up on. I'm not going to be doing much, modeling or gaming, because right now, to tell you the truth, I really don't have anything to work on. And I think it's just, it's a time for a break.
Yeah, boy, for a second there, when you said modeling, I thought you were going to get back into that swimsuit calendar thing you were talking about.
Folks, he is a pathological liar.
I almost fell out of my chair. I was a little shocked, folks. And please do me a favor for the rest of the show. Try to get that image out of your mind.
I'm trying to get that image out of my mind.
I got to tell you, this is a guy that I've talked to for years about, there's more to peanut butter than just a small animal on a Saturday night. This is something that I got to try to, There's a lot that I'm trying to help him out with here, folks. Maybe you can help me too.
I just wanted you to know that I attempted to make this a clean show tonight. No chance. Not with this guy.
Always, man. And you know what? And as always, we got the question of the day and the closing thought towards the end of the show tonight.
Hey, you Grimdark goons. Thank you all so much for listening to our Grimdark Live podcast. If you're new to the Grimdark Live experience or new to our podcast and like what you hear, please follow this podcast and pass us along to your friends. Let us know what you think about Grimdark Live in the show's comment sections, and let us know just how we're doing. Also, don't forget to catch us live on Thursdays. And if that ain't enough for you, check out our website at www.grimdarklive.com. That's grimdarklive.com. Anyway, thanks for listening, following, and just being awesome.
We are now going to get rolling with the show, and we're going to get into some of the news, because we got a lot there. So, Steve, you ready, man?
Let's go.
All right, let's do this. So, as we promised in the beginning of the show, we're going to start right off with the FAQs. Now, I know that a lot of folks, since this thing officially finally dropped late Tuesday through Wednesday and parts of today, I'm sure people have been hunting around and looking at what's been happening. This is our end of the year, the winter FAQs. And I got to tell you, this has been an incredible year for Warhammer Age of Sigmar, with the new battle tomes, the new kits, the new armies galore. The game, really, as we know it, has never been in a better spot. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. I think some of the armies they released this year were just off the charts.
Yeah, and we've said it before that, you know, a lot of times we've said that we feel that we were in the renaissance of gaming, but I definitely say that we're in a better place now than we ever have been, and I'm really looking forward to 2020. The new FAQ updates that dropped back on December 17th are designed, you know, according to GW, of course, to ensure your games are as fun and balanced as possible. I mean, that's kind of their staple line for every one of these FAQ drops. This is known as the winter updates, which has happened, and there'll be another FAQ drop around June-ish or thereabout. This usually is a culmination of some of the events, around the larger tournaments. Independent game testers and community feedback is generally how these FAQs come around. Now, this recent drop by GW isn't just an errata and an FAQ, but it includes a lot of match play points and updates for just a ton of factions. And we're going to talk about 6 to 7 of these this evening, starting with the biggest army that needed a change and why. And then we're going to get into this group of big, ugly, perverted bastards here right now. But honestly, overall, this felt like to me, Steve, like a play experience FAQ that came more from the community than previous FAQs. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think this was basically their way of touching up armies until they give us the real FAQ, which usually comes in June.
Yeah.
And it coincides with the release of the General's Handbook.
Yeah. And you know, this FAQ that we're about to, and let me back up and kind of say this right now. You know, some of the biggest changes in this update that we're going to start with here are to the Hedonites of Slaanesh, who have proved to be rather powerful, I guess, you know, kind of a beat stick army. And in some of the folks that are out there playing the perverted masses, the army got nerfed, but I think that was a good thing. You know, we haven't really seen a nerfing. Well, this is a lot bigger than what happened to the Idoneth Deepkin, I think, last year, you know, around the same time that the General's Handbook and the FAQ came out about the same time. The Idoneth Deepkin got quite a nerf, but I don't think it stands at all in comparison to what the Hedonites of Slaanesh just got. You know, Slaanesh, and Steve, you can kind of, you know, back me up on this if you think, or your thoughts, but Slaanesh, I still feel, has issues with depravity, even going beyond this. We're going to talk about specifically what I mean here in a minute. The changes made might have weakened its game impact now, but they still leave you with an army that wants to max its leader slot out, you know, all 6 at 2K, and ideally wants multiple multi-wound characters, which pushes its, you know, which pushes the whole thing heavily towards more, you know, more keepers. So I don't think that's going to change with some of the FAQ drops that have happened here with Slaanesh. And furthermore, they still want to summon leaders, as they will increase depravity generation. Now, you know, am I kind of fair in some of your assessments on that, your early assessments? What do you think?
Well, you know, when I think of Slaanesh, I think of an army that is obviously focused around narcissism, megalomania. I mean, you're talking about an army that is very much a character-driven army.
Yes.
So they tried to reflect that in the rules. The only problem is, like always, they didn't play test enough and it got out of hand.
Yeah. And I think that's very much the point. And I think it all loops back to the whole depravity generation. I mean, this army still heavily undervalues troops of any kind and leaves itself open to focusing purely on one army mechanic of depravity generation. You know, depravity itself also still generates the same, which means it's a mismatch in performance when compared with, you know, one wound majority armies and multi-wound majority armies. So what I'm saying here is a lot of people are, I guess what I'm getting at, and I'm taking the long way around the horn here, Steve, and everyone else listening, is that Slaanesh didn't really get a nerf. They beefed up some of their depravity points here a little bit, but I still think this is going to be a powerhouse army. But, and we're going to get into this army here in a little bit, I think now it officially has a contender to maybe knock it off there a little bit with these FAQs. But, and you know, we'll see if the Locust nerf plus Depravity nerf will be enough. I don't think it is. My first inclination is that Slaanesh is going to be as dangerous as it ever was. I think that people may bring more contorted epitomes now. I think we're going to see a lot more of those mirrors on the table. And I think that's going to, rather than being the shock blast that the army was from the get-go, I think it's going to just be a slower burn as far as how it's going to beat you. But I think it's still a very powerful army. Do you agree with that, or do you think I'm kind of off base with that?
No, I think Slaanesh is pretty much going to be the dominant army for a while now. I don't know what we have. Well, we none of us really know what's coming. I mean, we know Tzeentch is coming because they took the book off of off of the website.
Right.
So we can pretty much assume that Chaos is getting rounded out. Their books are done after Tzeentch. So we know that Slaanesh is definitely at the top of that chaos heap, and they're going to stay that way. There's nothing that's going to knock them off.
I think there's a contender out there, and we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. Well, as powerful as those Keeper of Secrets are, and the ability to raise them back onto the battlefield about 75 times in a battle, of course, I'm being hyperbolic, but
right.
It's ridiculous. It anytime you can add in 300-400 point models to an army, you're not playing a 2,000 point game anymore.
Well,
you're playing 2,000 points, but your opponent is playing whatever they can raise. So I guess, but that of course gets back into where we say that that is the reason why these depravity points had to be raised for these units.
Yeah, and
because
I think
it was getting out of hand.
Well, but I also think, in my view, the depravity point cost increase almost is worse than if they had left it alone. And let me just explain this. At least in terms of internal battle tome balance, by making the cost greater, it puts even more weight on taking more keepers, or at least multi-wound leaders. And making out the, you know, that leader slot, or maxing it out, I guess, maxing out that leader slot. So it actually makes, what am I trying to say here? The issue of taking anything but leaders worse. It also kind of highlights that's how GW wants the army to work, in my opinion, after looking at it from a tactical standpoint, which in my view is a massive shame, because it really cuts out so many great models and variants in the play style.
You don't see Slaanesh being played the way it used to be played, if that's what you're alluding to.
I am.
You're never going to see that again. Not with the way the book is designed. This book was designed to be a character-driven army with supporting troops. And anytime you have that, an army is open to be broken.
I think you're right. And I get it. You know, GW would have to rewrite how depravity works completely to fix this. Just not going to happen in an FAQ.
No, forget about that for another 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. And you know, And I'm going to say this in kind of two parts here. So I'm going to say it quickly. But, you know, I play Beasts of Chaos. That's an army that everybody knows is one of my Beastie Boys. And one of my best builds is not even a build that per se is in the Beast of Chaos battle tome. I take the Depraved Drove and I port them all essentially into the Hedonites of Slaanesh book. So this army is so good that it could take a C-plus level army like Beasts of Chaos and vault it to a B plus A minus level with what you're able to do. But I will say this while I'm saying this. Now, here's my second part of why I'm people are going to think I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth, is Slaanesh is probably the worst tome of 2019 when it comes to internal and external balance, if you're just a Slaanesh army. And in my opinion, it would require, you know, quite a bit of work to get that back on track. Hopefully they can improve on this in GHP 2020, I guess that's going to be coming out here. And, you know, if Slaanesh continues to be a problem, then perhaps GW should take a look at the Keeper of Secrets specifically. It seems to be the epicenter of Slaanesh's issues as far as a balance and playability. But that's kind of my thought. I mean, a lot of people on the boards were saying that they think that this is going to end the Keepers. I say nay, nay. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more Keepers simply because the depravity points went up.
Not a chance. That army will still be as nasty as it's ever been.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that when you look at the competitive slash good army lists, that you've basically got the least number of troops for the least cost you can imagine you can manage to put on the table, that tells me something is wrong with the army. You know, and I'm not talking, I know you can associate that with Beasts of Chaos, I mean Beast Claw Raiders, but with this particular army, I guess what I'm saying is with the new FAQ, Keepers can't rely on 83% chance of going first anymore. Having a 33% chance of failure means that Alpha Strikes may occasionally fail, and that's good. I think that's a positive, but I definitely don't think you're going to be seeing less Keeper of Secrets on the table. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. And then I want to hear, before we move on to the next army that got FAQ'd, I want to hear your thought on, you know, the Slaanesh thing. But don't get me wrong. You know, cutting down on what depravity can summon should knock some of the power out of the army, like I said in the beginning, which in a Keeper leader heavy list building on depravity is an issue. It's very much a step in the right direction. I just wish GW had been a bit bolder in their stance to, you know, knock off the Keeper of Secrets spam that we're seeing. I think, you know, especially because we're coming off of the previous year with the Nagash spam, I was kind of hoping to see, you know, Prince Pervert, you know, not so prevalent, but I don't think that's going to happen. What are your thoughts?
No, it's not going to happen. Wow, Slaanesh, a lot of thoughts on Slaanesh. Number one, I think it's going to be generally a problem. This army in general is going to be a problem for more so for tournament players than it's going to be for individual clubs.
Tournament players playing them or playing against them?
Against them.
Okay.
You're going to see, like, for instance, this year at Adepticon, you're going to see, I would venture to guess, about a fourth of the armies that you're going to see at Adepticon this year will be Slaanesh armies. Every single meta chaser is going to be tightening up those Nikes, and they are going to be running and chasing that meta with Slaanesh.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I guarantee it, and so you're going to see this become the problem, as always, at tournaments. But I think in terms of individual clubs, we only know two people that play Slaanesh. One of them is our buddy Pat over at Orlan, and our other buddy, of course, is Randy.
Yeah.
Right. And Randy plays them sporadically. So I'm not concerned about Slaanesh. They've never been a problem for our group. I know I'm going to run into them at tournaments that I'm going to be going to in the upcoming year. But you know what? I have full confidence in my trolls, so I'm not worried about them.
Yeah.
They're going to be an annoyance, just like Nagash was an annoyance. And the next army coming out this year, there's going to be a meta chaser army that people are going to be playing. I mean, it's the curse of the game.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a meta chaser army at the top of the heap, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me in one bit.
And boy, as a side note, before we get on to the next army you want to touch on, I think GW forgot the Trogoths were even in the books, huh? They totally forgot about that army. That's a
good
thing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you're welcome, GW. Yeah. No, I don't have any problem with the changes they made for the Gloom Spites. They only changed the Arachnoroks, and so I was completely happy with that change.
Hey gang, I wanted to take a break in today's show to introduce one of our sponsors and a great store for all of your hobby needs. That's Game Storm Gaming in Lamont, Illinois. Open 7 days a week, 12 to 12.
Game Storm Gaming has got you covered for all of your hobby and gaming needs. They got Magic the Gathering, War Machine, X-Wing, Game of Thrones, Force of Will card game, PC gaming and repair, Warhammer 40K, and Age of Sigmar, and a ton more. Grab paints, brushes, cases, dice, and a lot more at GameStorm Gaming in Lamont, Illinois.
Stop in and see John and the gang there at GameStorm Gaming, located at 1243 State Street, Lamont, Illinois, or check them out on their website at GameStormGaming.com. Again, that's www.GameStormGaming.com.
They also stay open past midnight for special cases and events, so get over there and get your nerd on with GameStorm Gaming. 1243 State Street, Lamont, Illinois, 630-243-9330. Again, that's Game Storm Gaming, 1243 State Street, Lamont, Illinois.
Game Storm Gaming is a proud sponsor of Grimdark Live. We hope to see you there. Well, speaking of which, man, all right, you pick one, man. You pick an army next.
Yeah, well, I mean, the next one is pretty much one that an army that I played, the Fire Slayers.
Yep. Let's do this one.
I've had mixed emotions about this, and
your
definition of mixed emotions.
It's like watching your brand new Cadillac go over a cliff with your mother-in-law in the back seat.
Yeah.
Mixed emotions.
That's never unfunny. I think the Fire Slayers overall are going to benefit from this, because our buddy Kyle made a pretty good point about it. Instead of having two units of 30 now, you can have three units of 20 and for the exact same point cost. So
yeah,
you're not necessarily losing troops, you're gaining another unit that can claim objective. So I kind of acquiesce to that belief. I think that the Fire Slayers overall are still going to remain a relatively unplayed army. And they're not going to affect the meta, and they're certainly not going to affect the game in any way, shape, or form. There just aren't enough Fire Slayer players out there to make that meaningful. But I think you will start seeing a few more people playing Fire Slayers. Not a lot, but I think you'll start seeing them creeping up at tournaments a little bit more.
Yeah,
because they're still a great army.
They are. I also think, like we talked about, I think it was in our last show, we kind of talked about that there's a little bit of a points, you know, a cost barrier there that,
It's an elite army. If you're playing Fire Slayers,
right,
you are basically saying, I have $800 to blow.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly
because
right.
Because the Hearthguard Berserkers are now $50 a box.
Yeah.
So you're only getting five. But that's okay, because I think that, and I actually think GW actually designed certain armies this way. There are certain armies that have a very low entry cost because they're very easy to play. But as you start to get into the more complex armies, something like your Slaanesh, something like your Fire Slayers, you're going to find that that cost is going to start shooting up. Something as complex as our Trolls. Now you may say, well, Trolls, Trolls are $60 a box. So a full army of 30 Trolls, we're talking, you know, with the characters and all the other goodies, you're talking $1,000 army. So, you know, when you look at something like the Fire Slayers, you are accepting when you play that army that you're going to spend a pretty penny to build a decent army.
Yeah. And I think as well as you understand that, I think by and large, Joe and Jane Gamer that are trying to get into this hobby, and maybe they're into, you know, small naked, you know, dwarves fighting people with axes. they don't see that until they see the cost of everything, and then they put two and two together and they realize they can't afford it. But
yeah, the Fire Slayers is the kind of army that someone is introduced to by fire.
Yeah.
You go up against someone who's playing them. You see how good they are, and you're like, well, geez, why am I not playing them? They got pretty nice, the Hearthguard, you know, they have a pretty nice stat line, and the 4+ ward save doesn't hurt either.
Right, right. So what do you think about some of the points drops? I mean, we got Volkite Berserkers and Hearthguard Berserkers.
Yeah, fine. No real changes with Fire Slayers. The Volkites went down a little bit. The Hearthguard basically just change to a unit cap of 20 from 30.
Right.
So, like, you're losing the 5 free that you were getting, but then again, you're gaining a new unit for the same point cost.
Yeah.
So,
right.
It's a trade-off. And yeah, with a 4+ ward save and 2 wounds apiece, you still have a unit with 40 wounds.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And, you know, I like kind of the comment you made, or you know, inadvertently through Kyle, that, you know, this army may have gotten better with yes, 2 blocks of, you know, I guess 2 or 3 blocks of 20 makes for a more interesting game than, I guess, 1 big fat block of 30, I think. I think that's I never thought about that before.
Yeah, because before, what you had to do is you had to have 2 units of 30 and 1 unit of 5 to have all of your Hearthguard serve as your battle line.
Right.
Now you can have 3 units of 20 as your battle line, and it's the same point cost as the 60 Hearthguard Berserkers that you had that were divided up into 2 units of 30.
Yeah, and this is the Horde discount. Thing. And I did say Horde, by the way. This is the Horde discount of 120 for minimum. 400 is the max unit size at 20.
Yes, that's the cap for Hearthguard Berserkers now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what our few Fire Slayer players do with that army now.
Yeah, right.
I know we have Dave. Dave is one of our Fire Slayer players.
Yeah, yeah, Dave's a pretty darn good one, too.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what people do with it. We'll see if it makes any kind of an impact on the game. But Fire Slayers are such an obscure army right now. I really don't think they're going to make any kind of a impact on the meta.
Yeah, you know what's funny is maybe this is turning out to be one of a, you know, I know a lot of people are down on the FAQ, and maybe it's the old parable that people just don't like change. But I think this is turning. I mean, think about what we just talked about with Slaanesh. You know, you're still going to see Keepers of Secret. They're not going to, people aren't going to lose that.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And I think this might have inadvertently made Fire Slayers a better army from a standpoint of capturing objectives Slayers, and things like that.
Yeah. Now that I've kind of contemplated it, it's definitely going to be a more challenging army for people, because believe me, Fire Slayers only need 2 lines. They only need the front and the second rank, because they have a 2-inch reach if they're using the flame strike poles, and they're still going to be as deadly as they ever were.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think anything. Yeah, the Fire Slayers are not going to be crying over this. Trust me.
Right. Right. So here goes, and I'm gonna throw this out here right now is my next army that I want to talk about here with the FAQs.
Sure.
And this is the one I was saying is definitely going to be a contender to possibly knock Slaanesh off its pedestal there a little bit. And at one time, when the army first came out, they were in the right hands. They were lethal. The Mortals version of them was lethal. And I think the changes in the FAQ that include this particular army are a welcome update, and that's to the Maggotkin of Nurgle with their blighted weapons. This was the update with an unmodified hit rolls of 6 now triggers their effects. So personally, when I read this, you know, the Blight Kings, you know, I really got to tell you, and again, folks, you know me, I'm not a Nurgle guy, but I love the updates to the Blight Kings unmodified 6s. But it's still sad in a way that the 3 Magath Lords haven't received any love since, I guess, before the beginning of Age of Sigmar to make them enticing to use. I mean, you've got, I forget which Magath Lord it is, but you got one of them that's got the Jabberslithe ability where he can spurt, you know, acid blood when he's wounded. But the battalions are the biggest impact because, you know, of what, say, a battalion like Blight Cyst does.
Yeah, that gives you rend.
It gives you rend. I mean, here's what I'm saying about this army. I think you take somebody that, number one, you want to talk about, like, you know, the antithesis of Fire Slayers, an army that you can get into the hobby relatively easy with. Just a couple of get started boxes, and you're playing Maggotkin of Nurgle Mortals. You know, the Blight Cyst itself is this is now down to 140 points from 200. So it went down 60 points, probably one of the best battalions in the game. And this basically gives them rend on their attacks. Now, also what it does is that there's the Lord of Blights, which is the general guy. He's the guy that throws all the heads all over the place. On units that are within 3 inches of him at the start of the shooting phase, the Blight Kings can throw heads as well. Now, I think it's a lesser of the two on the War Scroll, but they can now have a shooting attack as long as the Lord of Blights is within 3 inches of him.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this going down 60 points, I mean, they all went down. I think they all went down 60 points. The Taliban of Nurgle is another extremely lethal battalion. This was one of the few books that I felt got the battalions right, you know, and you couple that with a Harbinger of Decay, or maybe you take some of those, you take the Lord of Affliction and some of those pustule Blight Lords that already have the 5+ ward save with rend on their weapons. Boy, you could have one heck of a night trying to beat that army.
Yeah, this is what we've talked about before, where the Maggotkin with the ward save, obviously.
Right.
That is one of the few armies in the game that's getting that after save, and not just a six.
Right.
We're talking a five.
Yeah.
So these guys, I mean, you know, you think, oh, that's not a big, you know, folks, that's a 33% chance to bounce any attack or mortal wound.
Yeah,
that is a great ability.
Yeah, and
there's
honestly,
only a few units in the game that have a five or better.
All right, rip those off real quick.
Okay, so you're talking the trolls, the rock guts.
A
five up naturally. Yep. Nurgle gets it here. The Maggotkin get it when they have that character around them. So that's
the Harbinger
of
Decay, right?
Okay, there you go. And then, of course, you've got the Phoenix Guard,
yep.
four up ward save, mm-hmm. your elephants, your Thunder Tusks,
Stonehorns,
not Thunder Tusks, Stonehorns. Stonehorns,
yep.
And you've got the Fire Slayers.
Yep.
So you're talking only one, the Blight Kings, of course. You're talking only one unit out of five in the entire game that are getting a 5+ ward save after their armor save.
Right.
That is huge.
And let's not forget that with different abilities that are in the Maggotkin book, and that's you can build on that.
Oh,
you know, I mean, you could have these guys up to -2 rend. Now, we all know what stone trolls or your rock gut trogoths do with -2 rend.
Oh, yes, they're deadly with it.
I mean, it takes away 7/10 of the armor saves in this game.
Yes, it does.
And that's why you take that coupled with the fact that either a Nurgle army either has a 5+ ward save naturally in an ability called Disgustingly Resilient, or the fact that they can have a Harbinger of Decay that just by taking a command point can basically have all Nurgle units within 7 inches, not wholly within.
No,
just 7 inches.
Just like the daughters.
Get a 5+
just like
save.
The daughters of Cain with the Hagnar.
And to be honest with you, in my humble opinion, with the right magic and the right build, a Nurgle Maggotkin army, I think, is a strong contender, especially now with all of their battalions dropping in points, being, without a doubt, the one army I think that could topple Slaanesh post these FAQs. Easily.
I think the one thing that has always hurt the Maggotkin, especially Blight Kings, because that's what everybody plays,
right?
Is that they only have a range of one.
1 inch on their weapons, yeah, right.
Yes. If they had a range of two, could you imagine what kind of monstrosity people could put on you?
Oh, I got to tell you, man. But you know, there's ways you can get around that. You know, when you started to say that, right off the top of my head, there's a character, and you're talking about Nurgle, probably has some of the best characters in the game.
Oh,
but,
yeah, great characters.
There's a character called Gutrot Spoom, and he's basically a pirate. And if you take him in your army, you can take him and one unit. Now, typically your smallest unit of Blight Kings is five, but you can take a unit of five or maybe 10, and you can put them off to the side. And at the end of your next movement phase, you can, just like a beastman, or a beast of chaos, they can ambush in. And You couple that with Gutrot's got this, he's got this ability called clutching pseudopods or clutching tentacles, or I can't remember what it is right now. But basically on a 4+, if he's within 1 inch of an enemy unit, so if he charges, if he makes that charge, he can take that weapon away from that character so they can't use it.
That's hilarious.
And I got to tell you, you know, this is a guy that's got a 2-inch range. I think he's either 2s by 3s or 3s by 2s. I think he's 3s by 2s with -1 damage 2. Anyway, my point is with the fact that they brought back exploding sixes on the blighted weapons for the kings. Drawing a blank there for a second. And they dropped all of their battalions by 60 points. Blight is back on the menu, boys, and I think we're going to be seeing a hell of a lot more Nurgle on the table, which I can tell you right now, next to Skaven, I really enjoy playing against Nurgle armies. Love them.
Oh, yes. They're always a great fight.
You are
even
not
if
kidding.
Even if you clean their clock, you earn it.
They're also a resilient... You know, it's tough to do that, but
that's why they're so satisfying to play, because if you do beat them with that 5+ ward save, it makes it even more meaningful for your army, because you were able to beat that 5+ ward.
You are not kidding, man. Absolutely right on that. So all right, so back to you, man. I've hit the conversational birdie. Back to you, man. What's the next one?
Hey, let's take a look at the Eidneth.
Eidneth, the fishies. Here we go.
Yeah, you know, don't ask me why. There's for some reason, I have always loved the great white sharks of that army. They call the Alloplexes or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're down to 100 points now.
Oh, yeah.
100 points. Now, I mean, I know that someone for the goof is going to try to build an army and try to put as many great white sharks
a Jaws in that army.
Yeah.
Sharknado. I mean,
it probably would be a horrible army, but it would be a lot of fun to see on the table. But
no. Yeah.
Their Eidolons are now 360 and 380.
Yeah.
Aspect of the Storm is 360, and the Aspect of the Sea is 380.
Yeah.
But here's one, and you played against this army, I believe, at
Adepticon.
Yeah.
Game 1, day 2, yeah.
I am so happy that they lowered the cost of the Leviathan. You yes. never see the turtles.
You never do. You never
I've
do.
I've never seen a turtle on the table, and they're beautiful models. And there was that one gal that was playing at your tournament, and she had like 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember who that was?
I don't off the top of my head.
Because she had this beautiful army of
Lauren,
sea turtles.
I believe it was, yeah.
And I'm looking at this army, and I'm like, I've never seen... I was so excited just to see turtles on the table, because no one ever plays them. Because they were so grossly overcosted.
Yeah. And you know what
I'm they're down to 310.
And you know what I'm liking about this FAQ is that it seems to me that the army is becoming less battle tome eel riders. I guess.
Well, I don't think you're ever going to see that disappear, because they are a great unit. But... I love the fact now that what they're saying to people is, guys, come on. There's other beautiful units in this army. Let's try the sharks. Let's try the Leviathan. Right. A shark, come on, guys. It's only 100 points. Stick one in the army. It'll make your army look better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And that's a great point. I mean, sharks, turtles, and both of the Eidolons.
Yep.
They got pretty fairly significant reductions. I mean... Personally, I know that, like you just said, I'm gonna steal some of your point here. I don't think sharks are actually worth it over 3 Morisar.
No, they're not. But they're, you know, folks. I mean, you have to make your army a little bit more interesting. I mean, if you can.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're playing eels, great. Throw in a shark. I mean, I wish I had something like that in Gloom Spite that was cool for 100 points. You know.
Yeah.
But. I think the sharks are going to be great, and now that the Leviathans are down from 360 to 310, they're an option now, and they're beautiful models, folks. I mean,
they are. They're actually
try to put one in your army. They're worth it.
They're
beautiful models.
You know what I'm really bummed out about as a side note? That they didn't come out with that whale that the Skaven hollowed out when they found the Eidoneth Deepkin. I really think the Skaven need a hollowed out whale to kind of move around the table in.
Well, this army had so, oh my God, I can't even imagine what that would look like. But I mean, this army had so many possibilities. I would have loved to have seen a lot more of the sea, you know, sea monsters and stuff in the army. But I love the turtle. I love the shark. I wish the sharks were a little bit nastier than they are. But hey, like I said, for 100 points for a shark, come on, folks. And they shoot.
You know what? They do shoot. And they could be a good blocking unit, you know, a la the old eagles from the high elf days, you know, that
well,
kind of a thing.
Well, the Leviathan's a tank.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
That thing out
and
there.
They give you cover.
Yes, they do.
You know,
I mean, they're monstrous in size as a model. They're huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I guess now that I think about this, you know, I would definitely probably take the aspect of the storm at 360 points. I would probably not take the aspect of the sea. I guess, and I know others disagree and see him as a good option even prior to the points decreases, but I've always still, and even more so now, I like the fighty one. And I think that's right. The storm is the fighty one.
Yeah, for me, I think if I ever played this army, I would definitely, you would not see my army with anything less than two turtles on the table.
Yeah.
I would go with some of the, I would go with the stuff that people don't use. And maybe that's, you know, and I, of course, that's, you know, probably going to be suicide on the table, but I don't care. I think that when you don't feature all of the units in an army, especially one as beautiful as this army.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Gloom Spites, you know. Trolls are fine. You don't need anything really else to add flavor to that army. That army's got enough flavor as it is.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
But when I look at a fish army, I want to see the ocean. I want to see all the different types of creatures that these sea elves are using. And I cannot think of a cooler one than that Leviathan.
Yeah.
So I think what they did with the Eidnith was pretty cool. I'm happy with the changes.
Yeah, I am. And, you know, I hope, even though I got my clock cleaned at Adepticon by that Eel Army, I hope that this provokes more people to play the Eidanith Deepkin, because I've loved them ever since they came out. I love the backstory, being a old High Elf guy. But it's funny, Randy, the nicest guy in Tabletop Wargaming, he's actually on the boards right now. He's helping out in the live chat. He basically, when we brought up that the sharks were a good blocking unit, he says, no, pump wagons. So, yeah, there's always something better. I get it. But
yeah, exactly.
I don't think the pump wagons can float. So I'm going to have to stick with the sharks on this one.
Give it to the Skaven. They'll find a way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I got to tell you, I wish I would love it. GW, if you're listening to this little show, would you just come out with a hollowed out whale and we can just throw a bunch of rats in there and float around a table? That would just be a rip.
Could you even imagine if they came out with something like that, like limited edition? Would sell out. It would sell out in one day.
Oh, it would be. Yeah. It would be gone. It would move faster than anything I can think of right now.
Yes, it would.
But next one that I'm thinking of here, as far as the FAQs, and this one is kind of a touchy one. It doesn't necessarily speak to a particular army, although I think it does inadvertently. But it affects an army that's very close to me, and that's the Ogre Maw Tribes. And I'm not going to get on my soapbox of why I think they failed with this deliverable and the Ogre Maw Tribes. I think the GW didn't realize where the Ogres sat prior to their upcoming or their brand new book. But the Battle Tome Behemoths, you know, the pitch battle restrictions were lifted across the game on Battle Line Behemoths. Which now allows you to ignore the limit on behemoths in your army if they are battle line. Now, some people say, well, the Ogre Maw Tribes have this. Well, the Ogre Maw Tribes have this in their army. You know, they have this as part of their Ogre Maw Tribes. This was something that made them unique when you were taking Beast Claw Raiders, which, as a side note, is kind of like an army that resides in somebody else's book. And I think that, for me, when I saw that, that was one of the really only things for me that I was bummed out with, because it took away that they needed. Because when you've got obviously the only other army that I can think of, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, that can take behemoths as battle line as Flesh Eater Courts. I know that they have something called the Monstrous Ensemble. Where they can take
Terrorgeists
and maybe the Zombie Dragon, I believe, as battle line. Now, I'm going to say this right now, you know, Stonehorn Beast Riders or Thundertusk Beast Riders, which Thundertusk got completely nerfed with this new book, I don't think could hold a candle in a gale force wind to, you know, the to this monster here in Flesh Eater Quartz. I really don't see them being able to really do anything much to a zombie dragon, especially if it's in that Royal Menagerie War Scroll Battalion, where it gets a ton of mortal wounds and everything else. So I think that by making this particular change, I think it really kind of set the idea or the ability that made Beast Claw Raiders within the greater book, or, you know, Ogre Maw Tribes. I think it kind of took their uniqueness away when, you know, they were already kind of stumbling, you know, out of the gate, and some, you know, pitch battle profile changes, I think, are fine. But I think this one, where some gave you more options for your next army roster, I think that this one did that for some people. But it basically took the uniqueness and a skill and an ability that they needed, because they didn't really have much out of the gate. So that's kind of my gripe about the fact that Behemoths can now be, there's no limit to them if they're your battle line, no matter what army you're playing. And of course, the only other thing that's going to help is already a pretty darn good army, you know, in the Flesh Eater Quartz. I mean, what do you think about that? Am I trying to pole vault over mouse turds on this thing, or do I make sense?
No, I think, I mean, it's a legitimate concern, but I also think what they're trying to do is they're trying to create a greater diversity in the armies. They want to see people playing monster armies. They want them playing monsters. And I think this might be a precursor to what we're about to see with this rumored giant army that is coming.
Yeah.
And I think that's the basis for this switch. Now, we don't know what that giant army is going to be. We've heard a ton of rumors about it, but I think that's where GW is going with this. And I'm fine with that. I would love to see armies, these low model count monster armies. I think they'd be a hoot to fight.
I think so too. And, you know, I you know, it's funny. I was talking with Randy, as a matter of fact, you know, and I'm Randy, if you're listening on there, buddy, I'm not stealing your thunder, because Randy had a great idea, to get some games going where, you know, basically it's all Behemoth based or monster based, where you're, you know,
yeah,
in your army, you can, the cheapest Behemoth or monster you can take is 500 points, you know, and working up from there. So just kind of some great ideas. I mean, you know, as far as the Giants, and we don't want to take a left turn at Albuquerque here, you know, there's been rumors that it's going to be the Sky Titans. They're coming back. You know, of course, in the old lore in 7th and 8th edition, this was the Mountains of Moor battle that the Ogres basically beat the crap out of these Giants. That's where they got their Iron Blasters from and all this kind of stuff.
Well, I don't think these Giants are going to have anything to do with that lore. I think these are going to be completely new things. I think it's going to be a brand new lore. I don't think it's going to have anything to do with the Sky Titans.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, I'm excited for it. I'll probably end up playing it. I know that much. It's a giant army. I mean, you'll be thrown out of this community if you don't play a giant army. I think that's a rule somewhere.
You'll see them at every tournament. Yes. When they come out.
I hope so. Those big dummies. All right, man. You're right. I'm volleying back to you. Next one on the FAQ.
Okay, so I've been thinking about a lot of the other Order armies, but one of the things I've noticed that I think is going to make an impact is going to be the changes for Sylvaneth.
Oh, okay.
A lot of their trees went down in points. Alariel went down to 600. Now, she's not a tree, but still down to 600. Here's the one that I think that Sylvaneth players are really going to take an advantage of. The Spirit of Durthu. He used to be 360, now he's down to 300. So now,
wow. Yeah.
You're going to start seeing multiple Spirits of Durthu in Sylvaneth armies, two to three at least. The Treeman Ancients down to 260, the Tree Lord himself is down to 180.
Yeah.
So I really think that this is going to help Sylvaneth players in terms of their commanders, their heroes.
Yeah.
because you put three spirits of dirt through out on that table with the damage that they could put out. I mean, they'll hit you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, they will. And you know what's funny is boy, you know, talk about an army, you know, besides the Ogre Maw tribes that had a hell of a start there. You know, they were stuck on a dock in China for how long? And then they come out and people had kind of moved on and they had a tough time getting the army off the shelves. And
well, it's a highly specialized army. It's not the kind of army that your average Warhammer player is going to use or to play.
Mm-hmm.
This is an army for a really special type of specialized gamer. If you notice, a lot of our Sylvaneth players are guys that like to use tactics, like heavy tactics.
Right.
They like to do the hit and run. They like to use the trees to their advantage. The Sylvaneth players have to use those tactics if they're going to be successful.
Right.
It's not
right.
like a troll army where I can send them forward and just crush, kill, destroy. This army is going to outmaneuver you to kill you.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I think Sylvaneth is also a pretty acquired taste, if that's even a way you can describe it. I think you know, people generally are either for them or against them. I don't hear, you know, I don't think I've ever met anyone that said they thought the Sylvaneth army was okay. You know, either people love them or hate them.
I love the Sylvaneth. I just think that they're an army that, and I played them. So, but the problem is that you get bored with them very quick. And I don't know if it's just that.
Well, I remember that army. You played a bunch of Kurnoth Hunters.
Oh, yeah. I love the Kurnoth Hunters. The problem is, you know, they don't live up to my standard, which is the no rend, no ward save, no deal.
Right.
So they've got the Ren, but they don't have the ward save. So, yeah. But I think these changes for the Sylvaneth are going to be significant because all of these changes are in the characters that they need to win games.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right about that. I mean, you know, it's funny. I hadn't really thought about Sylvaneth because, again, that's not really my cup of tea, and I don't play against him a lot. I remember, you know, I think the last time I played against a Sylvaneth army was your army.
Yeah, and then Chase plays them. Zach's friend.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I don't think I've played against Chase in a year, maybe.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, it's strange because we've joked about this before. It's like some stores, you have a lot of destruction. Then you'll go to another store and they have a lot of order. You know, if we got around as much as we wanted to, you probably would start seeing more of these armies. You know, we'd get a little bit more diverse in our army competition.
Well, when you say get around as much as we'd like to, you're talking about the game, right? Not like as much as you get around, right?
Oh, Lord, folks, I'm sorry.
I'm asking a question. I can't even ask questions anymore without you getting all sideways
on
me.
Would you just move on before you get yourself in trouble again?
All right. Well, I'm just, you know, geez, you can't even talk anymore. All right. So let's keep this rolling on. So we got another one here. So What about the Wild Riders? I mean, I know we're kind of getting to the bottom of the barrel here, but I mean, the inclusion of Wild Riders as battle line units in Cities of Sigmar.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen them.
See, yeah, well, that's probably why, because they're not battle line.
It's a great change, but I mean, also, you just don't see anyone who's playing Cities of Sigmar, period. And the ones that are playing Cities of Sigmar are playing, like, your tanks. They're playing a lot of the war machines. They're playing a lot of the handgunners. Shooting. It's an army that basically is based on shooting if you're going to be successful. And I don't care if it's dwarves, I don't care if it's humans. Most people are using some facet of shooting to win their games.
Yeah.
And this past weekend, of course, you know, we had a Cities of Sigmar player who used it to quite a
Justin.
Effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised he didn't bring a gun to the game.
Yeah, he didn't need to. His tanks were working just fine.
That's it. So, yeah, I mean, and I know the Drakespawn Knights in Cities of Sigmar, they went down by 20 points, so now 150. But I think that was about all they touched with Cities.
Yeah, nobody's playing them. And Cities is just fine. They don't need to touch a thing for Cities. Cities has great points values. I don't think they need to change a thing.
Yeah. So before we get on to your next one, I want to throw this out there. You know, Randy just wrote here on the board. You said when we were talking about getting games in with you know, monsters and behemoths, although Randy said, you know, games with big ones, I don't know that I'll be playing in that game, Randy. I'll probably just stick to the models that are monsters and behemoths, you know. But he said Nargash versus Archaon versus Elariel versus Gordrak versus Gortek versus Vorgoroth, the Scarred. Oh, that's the corn demon. Yeah, gotcha. All right, very cool. So, yeah, all right,
my money's on Archaon.
Yeah, my definitely on Archaon, man. Okay, so back to you, man.
Well, my last one here would probably be the Daughters of Cain. Not a lot of changes, but some significant changes. The Bloodstalkers, yeah. And here's why.
Okay.
Bloodstalkers are a key component to playing the Temple Nest. And the Temple Nest, as you know, is whenever you roll a one facing the Temple Nest snake units, you get a mortal wound.
Right.
So now that the Bloodstalkers are lowered down to 120, you're going to see a lot more people playing those Temple Nests. Great change for them. And the Avatar is now down to 140. And do not discount this Avatar. This is a three damage model when it attacks.
Yeah.
And it is highly effective. And if I'm not mistaken, after turn three, it automatically animates for the rest of the game.
Yes, you're correct.
So that is a great little model to throw in between units, and it can put out an incredible amount of damage. Not to mention it has a great shooting attack.
Yeah.
Which it can use. And I believe it's 8 or 9 wounds. So you are talking 140 points for a phenomenal charge blocker.
Yeah, I mean that's a great point too. I mean, I thought for sure, you know, the Daughters of Cain, that's a damn good one. I thought you were going to go for the Stormcast nerfing, but
I really don't see too much stuff with the Stormcast. I see the Drakesworn have gone down to 420, the Lord Celestine down to 500, and the Evocators on Dracolines down to 260.
Right.
So I don't see a whole lot of changes with Stormcast. Because they're already a great army.
Well, the only competitive Stormcast roster got nerfed. That was their double tap. And they got a discount pretty much on all their very bad war scrolls, in my take, which are the Drakes. And, you know, I'm not sure a lot of Stormcast Eternal players are honked off. You know, I'm not sure that they're not honked off at that. I mean, I think that one definitely, unlike the other armies we just talked about that may have seemed to have kind of been improved in some way with the FAQs. I think they kind of realized that they wanted to level the playing field, because maybe people were a little upset that Stormcast was kind of the golden child, no pun intended, for a long time with GW.
Yeah, I mean, they're still a phenomenal army. I mean, they are one of those armies that has access to everything that you need to win a game.
Yeah.
They're just not my taste. They're a very boring army to me. Aesthetically, I don't care for them.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean a thing. As far as their effectiveness on a table, you have everything you need. So if you're playing Stormcast, your points are just fine. You've got everything you need to win a game.
Yeah. Well, like I said, so what are your, let's think about this here. What are your closing, I mean, your thoughts as we kind of wrap up this FAQ topic before we move on to the other stuff here in the show?
I like the changes. I think every change was appropriate.
Yeah.
I think some changes were insignificant, like the, you know, like the Drake spawn, like who cares? Nobody ever plays them.
Yeah.
But I think the things that they did change will carry us into the new year and off and on to June, when we finally get the real FAQ, which is going to make the significant changes.
Right.
But no, I think they did a great job. I think fixing Slaanesh was absolutely mandatory.
Yeah. You know, overall, I guess I like the changes as well. You know, for a lot of armies, this was, less about reining in stronger options and more about making some less than optimal choices a bit cheaper to make them more attractive to take in armies. You know, a worthwhile approach, I would have to say, and an encouraging thing to see GW addressing. You know, this for a long time, how many years did you and I play in this hobby, Steve, where things were so out of balance? You know, rank and blank days,
you have to wait years, Bretonians, years and, for a change.
And you know, speaking of, you know, the old ways with the, you know, Bretonian books that never came out and Beastmen that never came out and all those old timer talks that you hear Steve and I talk about, you know, I want books with internal balance. And when it comes to Slaanesh, you know, this one kind of, I'm going to go back to this one. I'm going to kind of end this portion of my talk with the way it all began. On the other hand, as I'm a mostly competitively minded player, Slaanesh was a huge problem. And while this surely doesn't fully solve it, it's a bigger nerf to an army than we've seen in a long while, as I said in the beginning, and should knock them back into the midst of the rest of the top tier, or at the very least, I truly hope, make them at least a viable opponent to where, you know, as I said before, I think Magakin could probably take them out. And if this can knock them down into the mid to high, you know, 50s in win rate, I would mostly be satisfied. I think the Locust change in particular is going to be meaningful. We'll obviously have to wait and see, though. I mean, would you agree as far as, you know, with the Slaanesh thing? I do find that they've balanced it in a way, even though we're still going to still see as many Keepers of Secret as we ever have.
I don't know. I guess I'm of the opinion that I never faced Slaanesh. It's just not on the menu with the group of guys that I play with. Because it takes a very particular player to play that army. It's not a popular army, despite what many people may think. It never was.
Okay.
It was always kind of like that offshoot chaos army that people would play. Right. I'm just not worried about them. I guess I've always believed that if you're confident in your own army, you're not going to worry about that. I think they got crazy with a lot of the, you know, depravity point stuff, but you know what? That they fixed it as far as I'm concerned and move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I would tend to agree. And, you know, we can go on and we could talk about that, you know, and even how I think that GW likes a little bit of a soft touch when dealing with certain things. And I have mixed feelings about that, but I still think we have seen, them with this recent December FAQ show an inclination to do some things that they have generally been resistant to do in the past. In addition to the Slaanesh change, I think the fact that they are straight up replacing the Plague Monk scroll is something that bodes very well. I completely forgot to talk about those guys, but we'll move on. You know, people can look at that and see what that is. It bodes very well for the future if it shows a willingness to do something so drastic again as it has been needed on more than one occasion. And ignored, you know, I would say again, in the past, it's been ignored. I also think that we're seeing the soft touch with points in a few instances actually work. I think we've talked about this in depth before, but I think, you know, the Deepkin, as far as they are, I think it's appeared to have succeeded in the case of the Sharks. I think we're going to see a lot of Sharks on the table. With them coming down 40 points in 12 months and are now at a place where they're usable, you know, I think we're going to see them. And I hope we do, like you said, you know, right?
Yeah, I mean, we need to, I want to see the other units in armies.
Right.
You know, I mean, look, there's a difference between someone like myself who's playing a mono aesthetic intentionally. In other words, I'm intentionally playing just Rock Guts.
Right.
But if I'm playing an army like Eidneth Deepkin, or if I'm playing the Cities of Sigmar, I want to see all of the aspects of that army. I, as a player, want to play all of the different units that army has to offer, at least as many that would make sense, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in other words, in the case of the cities, I'm not going to include, like, Dark Elves or, like, you know, High Elves or Wood Elves with, like, you know, Imperial troops.
Right.
That, to me, just would look awkward.
But right.
If I'm playing the Free Peoples, I want to see all the different types of the Free Peoples in an army, unless I'm going for a certain aesthetic.
Right. Right. And you know, and speaking of that aesthetic, you know, I think the decrease in points on large monsters may encourage a bit more variety in list building, which will also be better for the game. And even though, like I said, my personal beef is the fact that they took some of the originality away from my beloved ogres, but hey, you know, I guess there's gotta be give and take. There's flesh eater quartz players out there that probably, you know, need a little bit of love too, but You know, and you know, to kind of round this out here, the, you know, going back to the Osiark Bone Reapers, you know, which we've kind of all forgotten about, which is kind of weird. The unfortunate standout, I would say, is Petrifex, you know, Elite, which not necessarily because it's overpowered, but because it's such an auto pick for
yeah, it's almost mandatory to take with them.
Yeah, I think the you know, that is a standout. But to the new army, though, to kind of you know, put a pin in this topic here, I think that the new Slaves of Darkness tome that just came out, you know, we might see more mortal Slaanesh armies with, yes, Archaon and a Keeper of Secrets to make them attack twice. Did I just give anyone an idea out there? I hope so.
Mortal Nurgle too.
Yeah, but here's the thing too. I'm now going to round back out to my beloved Beastie Boys. I, for one, am very happy to see my war herds all less expensive. Aha. I just remember that my beloved Minotaurs are down to 140, providing room for my beloved Jabber Slice. Yes. This time I'll be able to get all three of them. The whole family will be back, man. I'm, you know, and yes, folks, I do name my Jabber Slice. I've got Hansel, Gretel, and Augustus. And they're beautiful little children on the table. They're wonderful. So good stuff, man. That's our FAQs right there, bud.
Yeah. I mean, I think we pretty much covered the main ones.
Yeah.
Like I said, I would encourage all of our listeners to go and look at every single one of those FAQs. Just go in and take a peek and see what's changed, because you're probably going to be facing some of those units now that their points have been lowered.
Well, I wouldn't say probably. I'd say absolutely. I mean, and you know what? I think it's going to make for a more fun experience. I mean, I would love to see sharks on the table. I think I've only ever seen them on the table once since the army was released.
Yep, I've only seen one guy play them ever, and I've only seen one person ever play the turtles, and that was that gal that was played in your tournament.
A public service announcement brought to you by Frag Factory 3D Printing. Many of us have thousands of dollars in miniatures, yet we play on flat tables with books and overturned Tupperware to act as our fantasy and sci-fi landscapes. We've all drooled over the tables we see in magazines, lush with beautifully created terrain from all genres. The crew at Frag Factory 3D Printing want to wipe that drool from your chin and put it firmly on your friends and fellow gamers when they see your setup. Alien landscapes, desert wastelands, futuristic cities, fantasy outposts, elven forests, demonic stronghold, and so much more. Find out what you've been missing by checking us out on Facebook at Frag Factory 3D Printing, or send us an email at fragfactory3dprinting@gmail.com. Bring your own files, or we will help you find what you've been searching for. Take your gaming to the next level with Frag Factory 3D Printing. We print life into your games. Tell them Grimdark Live sent you, and your first hour of printing is free.
Hey gang, in all seriousness, get your terrain on the table and get it with Frag Factory 3D Printing. And remember, tell them Grimdark Live sent you and they'll give you 1 hour free. You can get them via email at fragfactory3dprinting@gmail.com or their Facebook page, Frag Factory 3D Printing.
Frag Factory 3D Printing, printing life into your games.
Now, back to the show. So let's keep the wheels rolling here, as we say on Grimdark Live. So before we get to your topic, and I know that you've got a topic that you want to get to, I want to go back, since we're closing out 2019. I want to go back and I want to talk about the army predictions that we made at this time all the way back in 2018 for 2019. And we're going to make, you and I, Steve, right here, are going to make, and I'm going to ask anyone on the boards, Randy, I know you're out there, man. Anyone out there, Dave, I know that you're out there. Anybody that's on the boards too, in the chat right now, because I'm going to write this down, and we're going to keep this just like we have. But we're going to talk about the army predictions that we made about this time last year for 2019 to see how they fared. And we're going to make some army predictions for 2020 right here. What do you say? You ready?
Sounds good. Let's go.
All right. So a year ago today, Steve, when I asked, and it was myself, you, Sean, Gary, and Randy, mm-hmm. we were all
pontificating.
We were all definitely pontificating. So we were all talking about armies that I think were that I think were all a good chance of being something at the time. I'm going to kind of laugh at mine. But when we asked each other back then who we thought the top armies for 2019 were going to be, you had said high elves. You had thought that the elves were going to be coming back out. Yeah. So you'd said some version of high elves. Sean, he said Slaanesh. I think you know, Sean, if you're out there listening, buddy, I think
nailed that one.
I think you were pretty. You were definitely the most right out of all of us. That's for sure. Gary had mentioned Skaven. Not a bad choice there. I think teleportation.
Skaven, I would actually say that. Yeah, they're up there too.
Yeah,
they're definitely one of the top meta.
Teleportation, Skaven were pretty damn good. Randy
so
said
Gary's
Gitmob.
Gary's choice was pretty good.
Yeah, Randy said Gitmob. Although you know, I'm not sure. I guess we can maybe give him what, you know, give him a consolation prize for.
No, see, I give Randy a lot of credit for saying that, because if you look at sales and you look at what armies you see a lot of people are playing Gitmob.
Well,
now, are we talking, did he mean Gloomspite because we didn't know what they were going to be called yet?
I think we had thought that maybe that they were going to come out with a different, you know, I'm not sure.
Okay, because Randy made that prediction last December. So we didn't know that they were going to be called Gloomspite Gits at the time. So Randy, if you were saying Gloomspite,
all right.
I'm not saying they're meta breakers, but I'm saying that they're definitely a popular army.
I would say they're probably tied up there with Skaven as far as a good one.
Yeah, I think there certain aspects of them are definitely.
Yeah.
I think you and I approve that.
Right. And I think this is probably why I'm having such a visceral reaction with basically the stumbling out of the gate that GW's had with the Maw Tribes. I said Ogres.
But that's yet... Yeah, I mean, if it's for this year, yeah, they haven't been out long enough. So maybe they'll do something in the next year. We don't know.
Yeah, I love your optimism, buddy, but I don't see it. But that's another show.
I think out of all of us, Sean was probably dead on when he said Slaanesh. I mean, I don't think that could even be disputed. I think that Gary was our real close second. I think Skaven is still up there as one of the best armies right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah,
you and I definitely stunk the place up, though.
Hey, that was you, pal, not me.
All right, so here it is. Here it is right here. So let's I'm gonna throw it at you, man.
All right,
2020, who's gonna be the top army?
Tough call, because we have to take it in quarters.
Come on.
Well, because you can't, it's hard to say that because, and I'm not trying to, you know, evade the question, but what I am saying is if an army comes out like in November, it's not going to have enough time to prove itself. So if you're talking just who's lucky enough to come out early and maybe hold the meta for a while, I am going to go with the Dark Elves, new Dark Elves.
Let's say anything before September. How about that?
Okay. Sounds good. So I'm going with the Dark Elves, Malekith's or Malorian's new army.
Okay.
I'd say the Dark Elves. I think they're going to be a phenomenal army.
Okay.
That's my prediction. That's what I'm going with. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You know what? I got to go the opposite on this one, and I'm actually going to steal yours. But I think with the new, whatever you want to call them, Elves of Light Elves, High Elves,
whatever.
Elves that got high, whatever you want to call them. I think that new version of Tyrion and Teclis's elf army is going to absolutely be the army to beat on the table. I think
honestly, it's either or. I mean, the elves are definitely going to be the dominant armies of this year.
Yeah.
I think you'd be a fool to think otherwise. And then I don't know what Soul Blight's going to look like. I would bet my bottom dollar that Soul Blight's going to be the October release.
All right. You want to change?
No, because I really do believe that if they are released in October, it's kind of, I don't know. That's a little late in the year to say that they dominated. I think the Dark Elves are coming out sometime in the late spring, early summer. So I'm sticking with them.
Okay. Well, Randy just chimed in on the boards here. He says Seraphon. So, Randy, I'm putting you down, man. Seraphon it is.
Well, he might be right with their teleportation abilities.
We'll have to see.
We'll
so,
find out soon enough, yeah.
All right, Randy is going down here for Seraphon.
Okay, I like it.
All right, got Randy down for Seraphon. There you go. So, Well, good one. So let's move on, and we'll see where we are in another 12 months, man.
Yeah,
so
we
again,
sure will.
Just to kind of run down here, folks, here are the predictions of top armies for 2020. Steve says Dark Elves, whatever variation they are. Randy says Seraphon, even though, and I'm going to read off what Randy put here on the boards, because I think, and on the chats, because I think he nailed it here. He says, we know of Zeech around the corner. Finally, yep. Get the Tyrian Elves. I want Giants, meaning Randy says, I want Giants. So do I, Randy, by the way, and I think so does Steve. Prediction, Seraphon. So good one.
That's solid.
And of course I said High Elves. That was my prediction.
Yep.
So they're on the Nerd Bunker wall right now, and that's where they're going to stay until next year. And we'll see how well we did. Because boy, I tell you, you and I really screwed the pooch last year on our predictions.
Well, I think it was inevitable that they were going to push the Elves into 2020 because it's literally going to be an army of new models. You will not see one old model in that army.
And you want to know something? I almost was going to err on the side of Nurgle, but I'm only saying that right now because I am so impressed with the Maggotkin right now of what they have done to this army. Anyway.
Well, we know a couple people who play them are going to be real happy.
Oh, I got it. They probably have already done two laps around the block in their underwear. I mean, they're probably damn happy. But speaking of which, let's get on to the next happy topic here. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the Grimdark Live experience and the show. If you want to support the show, please like and subscribe on YouTube and follow us on our podcast. This way, you'll be alerted when we post new content. If you'd like to support Grimdark Live further, head over to GrimdarkLive.com, get a t-shirt, dice, or there's Patreon, which makes our show possible. Keeps our mics on and the lights buzzing. Big thanks to everyone, past, present, and future, who have supported Grimdark Live. We do this because of all of you, and of course, we will continue doing this for as long as we can. Okay, you guys ready for more Grimdark Live? Let's get back to the show. You know, and this one here is going to be a great topic coming off of the FAQs we just talked about. And this very topic plays into our question of the day, but with a slight twist in the question topic and wording by eliminating the word would. And we'll get to that when we get to the question of the day. Yeah. Also, this could tie back into the conversation that we had last week on last week's show there, Steve, when was asked what motivates you to play an army. But let's continue with your topic. Armies we would like to try this upcoming year, but haven't thought about yet. So roll with this one.
Okay. So every once in a while I'll get this, this bug to play an army, and I don't know why. It just hits me.
Who,
and
you?
Yeah, exactly. But this army is particularly intriguing for me.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about playing it for, actually, since the Cities of Sigmar came out. And I have been interested in playing the cavalry army, the Demogryph Knights.
Cool.
They're called the Hammerhall Lancers.
Yeah.
And it's really been an army that I've been thinking about. Now, it does not have one of my components that I require of myself.
Yeah.
To play an army.
Which is the ward save, right?
It does not have a ward save, but the Demogryph Knights do have a 3+ save.
Oh.
Now when you think about that, folks, even all of the knight units in this game have a 4+ save, most of them, I should say. And the only things that I know that have a 3+ save are like heroes. Most of them.
Like
your mega boss.
Yep.
Some of your dragon lords have a 3+ save.
Right.
These are knights, just your basic knights, and they have a 3+ save. Not to mention the fact that when those suckers come charging in, if you are a Hammerhall Lancer battalion, you are +1 to hit, +1 to wound.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're using lances, you're hitting on twos, wounding on threes, damage of two when you charge,
right,
and rend of two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with those lances, they get three attacks.
But they get three, and the beasties, if they wound you on a six, cause a mortal wound. And they're threes by threes, rend of one. So, you know, that army, for some reason, has been sticking with me.
Yeah, because it was like three or four shows ago you brought that up.
Yeah, I just, it's one of those armies that I'm thinking about, but once again, it's a specialized army.
Well,
it's going to be basically three units of the Demogryph Knights, two units of nine, one unit of six, and then the general and a wizard, a general on the Griffin and the wizard. You have to have a general on the Griffin to make them battle line.
Right.
So
who would your, so your wizard would be just a, what, like a,
he's a foot slogger. Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. Okay. So you would probably, now let me ask you a question. The going with the collegiate arcane wizard, the battle mage, I guess they're called, what would you, which, you know, again, these guys are no slouch in combat either. I mean, I think they're forest by threes with negative one when they whack you with their little wooden stick. But what would you, realm of magic would you take? You know,
well,
have you even thought about that?
You have to have, if you're from Hammerhall,
oh.
I believe it is on the border between the Realm of Fire, Akshi, I guess they call it.
Oh, yeah.
And Gyron, which is
Oh, that's right. I forgot that's how they built some of that stuff in that
yes,
book.
Yes, the city is actually on two sides of the Warp Gate, essentially. And I just thought that would be such a cool army to see, an all knight, an all cavalry army, and not just an all cavalry army, but a damn good one.
And, oh yeah.
One that's devastating on the charge, but there's also another variation of that army.
Really?
You don't have to use the lances. You can use the halberds, which are threes by threes, rend of one, damage one.
Yeah.
Now some people would say, well, that's crazy. You know, you're going to be charging. Nah, think about it, folks. You charge in once. If you don't kill that unit, now you're stuck. If you get charged on the side, would you rather have three by three, rend of one, damage one? Or would you rather have a three by four?
Yeah.
No rend and damage one.
Yeah.
See? So you got to think, you're not always going to break a unit when you hit them. You may think you are, but if it only takes one round of bad, you know, bad dice rolls, and now you're in a, and now you're in a slobber knocker.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very, very true.
I'm contemplating what I would take if I was going to play this army, what I would take. And I'm stuck. I'm really stuck. And if anybody out there has got some suggestions or whatever, go for it. I'd love to hear what you have to say. I'm leaning towards the halberds.
I would. Only if because, it were me, I would.
Yeah, only because I know that I'm not always going to be charging. Someone is eventually going to charge me. And I want to have rend
well,
when I'm fighting.
They say that even if you're a charging imposed army, and I know it from playing my Stonehorns, I'm only maybe charging twice in a game.
Exactly, and so that's
so halberds is what I would go with.
The halberds, yeah, and I'll tell you, they're great troops.
Yeah.
They've got a bravery of seven when you take the standard. You know, they have three attacks apiece for the rider, three attacks apiece for the bird, you know, for
right.
the Demogryph.
Yep.
And the movement is just, I mean, this.
Well,
this
they move 10 inches, right? Yeah, 10 inches.
Yeah, but they'll be on you like in one turn.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and you know, Randy just chimed in here on the board. You said the fire
yeah,
realm
what Randy
spell.
Had to say.
He said the fire spell for extra damage. The fire realm spell is what he was recommending to take on your mage.
Okay, and what does it do? What does it do, Randy? Ask him what it does.
Let me. I'll be able to possibly pull it up right here. So I think what he's referring to is the fireball spell in Akshi. Basically, it's a casting of five. If successfully cast, pick one enemy unit within 18 inches of the caster that is visible to them. If the enemy unit has one model, it suffers one mortal wound. If it has 2 to 9 models, it suffers D3 mortal wounds. If it has 10 or more models, it suffers D6 mortal wounds.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So,
not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good mollywomper of a spell, especially when you've got a low model count army and you're going to have to maximize as much damage as you possibly can. With this, but you
which
know, let's
is
not
why there's an argument for the lances because
well,
if you come in, you're going to hit them so hard on that first charge that they're not going to be there.
Okay, but then what after that? You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly. You're now stuck there. Great, you killed the unit, but now there's another unit that's right there ready to come charge it in. And if you have lances, you're fighting threes by fours. That's not that good, folks.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But, you know, I got to tell you that the Free Guild General on a Griffin is no slouch either.
Oh, no, he's not. And if you give him a shield, he will he will actually, if you give him a shield, he's actually a 3-up save.
Yeah, you add one to the save rolls. He's normally a 4.
Yeah, him, I'm giving the Great Hammer. I think the Great Hammer is the best option. It's 3s by 3s, rend of 2, damage D3.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's only got 1 inch there, or, you know, what do you think about that? I mean, only 1 inch.
Oh, I could care less about that, because he is never going to be in a situation where he's never going to be in a situation where he's fighting behind a unit. He's always going to be up against a unit. He'll charge in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with his stat line, he can do damage, because that Griffin at max, the Griffin at max wounds does 4 damage when it bites.
Wow.
Yeah. So he is a nice little unit to put on the flank and tear somebody apart.
And you know what? And you got a built-in boost for your charges. This guy adds 1 to the charge rolls for friendly Free Guild units that are within 12 inches of them. Holy, within 12 inches.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's so many benefits to the Hammerhall Lancer's battalion is great. The +1 to hit, +1 to wound on the charge is phenomenal. And then the general also gives you, you know, his command bonus, which,
right.
I mean, you just can't, for me, I think this would be like the, almost like an ode to the Bretonians in a way, because they are.
The Bretonians.
Yeah, but they are the elite, like, knights of the human race.
That's true.
So they would be comparable to, like, your Grail Knights and your, you know, your knights of old. I mean, they essentially are the knights that people look to in the human realms and say, these are our protectors. You know, these are our Praetorians.
Well, I got to tell you, man, I mean, these things got 4 wounds apiece. I'm going back to the Demogryph Knight. Oh, I was kind of looking at the war scroll we were talking to. I mean, they got 4 wounds apiece. They move 10 inches, 3+ save, 6 bravery. That's fine, because you're never, you know.
It's actually a 7 if you take a standard, so you're good.
Okay. Yeah, they're not going anywhere. That's for damn sure.
And one of the units you can also make your the retinue of the general. I just call mine the Praetorians. So the Praetorian unit is, you know, then they get the benefits of being the Praetorian unit.
Uh-huh.
So there's just so many benefits to that army, and because they're a 2-inch range, if you're lined up 9 in a row, or even 8 in a row, you can position your models so that you can get the guy in the back in. So you're going to have the whole unit attacking.
Uh-huh.
So to me, that is the one army that I'm kind of focusing on right now and saying, is this something I want to play?
I think that would be a good sidebar army to your trolls. I really, or trollbox,
yeah, I mean,
I really
it's
do.
Different than the trolls.
Well, and I think that's what keeps the game interesting.
But that's me. That's the army that I'm looking at.
Do you want to ask me now what I was thinking about?
Oh, I already know what you're thinking about, but go ahead.
What am I thinking about?
Just go ahead.
Because I don't believe it's what I'm thinking about.
Okay. Go ahead and tell me.
Well, I want to hear what yours is for. What did you think it was going to be?
First of all, I think you're moving away. You're moving away from what you traditionally play, which is destruction. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay. I believe it's going to be something in chaos.
You're correct.
And I believe it's going to be Slaves to Darkness, some variation.
All right, I'm going to tell you now, damn it. You pulled it out of me. You ruined the surprise, man. You weren't supposed to be that good.
No, I just know you.
So I guess I've thought about this one, and it is Slaves to Darkness, Mark of Nurgle. Now, I just heard pretty much everyone gasp at that, because I am not a Nurgle player at all. But I'm going to tell you why. You know, folks, I buy every book and I actually read them. And the updates to the magazine.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And the update that actually stopped me cold. Yeah, imagine that. But I got to tell you, the updates to the Maggotkin in the recent updates to the FAQ and my 5,000 foot interest in Nurgle have really captivated me to look into a Slaves of Darkness army build with the Mark of Nurgle. And, you know, I could go total Rotbringer, but that's not really my cup of tea. But the updates in compilation with the Slaves of Darkness conversation we had in the past 3 to 4 shows, I have a list that I put together that I think is really There he is, man. High class white trash back on the boards, man. Thank you very much for being with us. And that's not blasphemy, man.
Make people think that he knows you. You'll ruin the man's reputation forever.
We did time in jail together, man. We were cellies. This is a great person. I mean, high class white trash. We've eaten cold raviolis together, man. I know this guy. So here,
that's why he doesn't want to have anyone think that. That's the whole point I'm trying to make.
He wants to remain high class white trash. Exactly. But here it is. So, in the Slaves of Darkness battle tome, there's a build that I personally think is the only one that's worth a crap, and that's the Despoilers in their damned legions. Without getting into a lot of detail, because that's not what the show right here in today's show is for, is you have to take a damned legion with your Slaves of Darkness build. And the Despoilers is definitely the best one. But in doing so, you have to take, or in order to get the most benefits, not have to, you should, unless you're a meathead, you'd have to take a Demon Prince as your general. Now, the list that I've worked out is fairly simple and to the point. You know, I've got a Slaves of Darkness Demon Prince as my general. I've got a Chaos Lord and a Demonic Mount, which is just the regular horse, you know, the guy for 170 points, not the big dragon dude. Okay. Two Chaos Sorcerer Lords. And then here's my battle line. I've got a unit of 10 Chaos Knights. I've got a unit of 15 Chaos Warriors, a second unit of 15 Chaos Warriors, a unit of 5 Chaos Warriors, and a Chaos Chariot. And the reason why I'm taking the Chaos Chariot is because it's got 7 wounds, and if it does anything like my Beastman Chariot, where it's good at holding off units and holding objectives and just being that kind of annoyance thing out there, they are worth it. And it's only 120 points.
Now, what about the Harbinger as the ally?
Well, I have thought about him as far as bringing him in as a Slaves of Darkness.
For the 5-plus ward save.
For the 5-plus ward save, yeah. So there's still a couple of things I'm working on. But outside of him, this list is pretty beasty. I mean, I'm going to be putting, some of the traits are bolstered by hate. That'll be on the Demon Prince. The Chaos Lord on Demonic Mount is going to have the Ethereal Amulet. Obviously, the whole army will be from Shaiish, the Realm of Death.
Interesting.
Which, you know, because because of the buffs that he gives the cavalry units, I know that he's going to be a target. But the Chaos Sorcerer Lords, they have something on here that I truly love, and it comes from the destruction side of my gaming life, and that is the Diabolic Mantle, and that's a spell, and what that basically is Hand of Gork, you know, where they can pick up a unit. And they can move them. And so that right there is something that I think it's worth its weight in gold to be able to plop down a unit of, cavalry that's about to charge or Chaos Warriors out in front of them. But the Harbinger of Decay is definitely one that I would strongly consider. He's a little pricey. I think he's 170 points. So I'd have to figure out a place.
Give your whole army a 5-plus ward save.
Yeah, I would probably drop one of the Chaos Sorcerer Lords and the Balewind Vortex, and I would take him. But I'd be taking everything in the Plague Touch Warband. But I'll tell you, here's where it becomes sick. And I'm not going to, again, this is maybe for another show to get into a into a list here. But if you take the Demon Prince, and he has the Mark of Nurgle, and I'll just start with him real quick. Of why I kind of felt that this was a pretty enticing build. He's got a mark in Mark of Nurgle. He can take something called the Bloated Blessing, and he can use the command ability at the start of your hero phase. And if this model is a Nurgle keyword, if you do so, pick one friendly Slaves to Darkness unit wholly within 12 inches. And folks, I know I'm reading right now, so I apologize for that. And that unit in your next hero phase, if it's an unmodified hit roll for an attack that targets. The unit is a 6. That attacking unit suffers D3 mortal wounds after all of its attacks have been resolved. Now, that means, again, I hit you on a 6. That's D3 mortal wounds. I still get to pass through. The battalion with the Plague Touch Warband does another thing with a 6. If the attacking unit suffers 1 mortal wound after all of its attacks have been resolved, in addition, if the save is a 6, you pick one unit from this battalion and one enemy unit within 1 inch of it. If you do so, roll a dice on a 3+, that enemy unit suffers D3 mortal wounds. So the army in itself, plus with its other bonuses it's a mortal wound output machine in the Despoilers build with the mark of Nurgle. But yeah, I would probably have to reconfigure it to work in a Harbinger. But I kind of thought about it right before the show and kind of put together that list in thinking of something that would be an army that I'd like to paint up and try out to play as a secondary army. Annoying me, probably a third army for 2020. I think that would be, and again, I can't even believe I'm hearing myself say this right now. I'm saying Nurgle.
Well, you're trying something, you're broadening your horizons, and you're trying something that you've never played before, which is a good idea. I mean, me playing Free Guild, you know, humans is obviously something way outside of my comfort zone.
Right, right. And I got to answer one thing here with high class white trash. You know, yeah, I'm partial to Sail the Faithless as well, but for 200 points, that's a real tough pill to swallow, especially in my point of view. And I did think about him, by the way, Bud, honestly, but in my standpoint, we already have a spell that's got movement shenanigans. Sail is, you know, he's the godfather of moving units around on the table for sure. I mean, he's been doing that for a long time, but for 200 points, that's a tough pill to swallow, especially if I'm probably gonna have to drop a Chaos Sorcerer Lord and the Balewind Vortex just to be able to fit in the Harbinger of Decay. But that 5+ ward save with all the rend that this army gets, with the 5+ rerolling with mortal wounds, because of their shields, their rune shields, is an army that I'm strongly considering. Let's put it that way.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, both of them. Yours too, man. Yours too. So, and if anyone else out there is listening, man, either post it on Facebook or post it right here to the chat. You know, what armies are you guys?
Yeah, share your armies.
Yeah, what are you guys looking on? What new armies are you looking to get yourself involved with in 2020? Well, good topic, Steve. Absolutely, man. So here it is. We're at the question of the day, and I know that we're running a little bit late, but here, as I said before, we're tying this back into your topic here, Steve. So here's the question of the day.
Okay.
Are you sticking with your current army, or are you anticipating a switch to one of the upcoming armies?
The only army, no, I will not give up my trolls, because I don't think there's anything out there right now that can do what my trolls do.
Right.
As far as, am I going to switch? The only army that I'm waiting for with bated breath is the Vampire Counts.
Oh, yeah.
The Soul Blight.
Your Soul Blight,
If they end up being stinkers, or if they end up being, like, weaker than what my trolls can do, in combat at least, then I'll just stick with my trolls.
Right.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so far, my trolls are working just fine.
Hey, you know what? You're preaching to the converted, man. I'm building the troll army right now, and I'm not gonna lie. I'm copying you to a T. It's a great army. And of course, I've got my Nobblers, which, you know, the trolls are a close second.
Who?
To the Nobblers. Close second, man. Nothing can beat the power of the Nobblers, man. And I gotta tell you, man, an army led by Cooley von Sphincter. He's
talking about trash.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. This is gold right here, man. I mean, you don't know an army until you've seen the might of the Nobbler 300, man. The Scrappa. This is Scrappa. That's that army.
Are you done talking?
Oh, I'm never done talking, man. I can talk about Nobblers all day long, man. Nobblers
please
and chocolate
don't.
Cake, man.
Please don't.
All right. So here it is, man. We got to that point. We got the closing thoughts, and this is for you, man. What are your closing thoughts on the show tonight?
Well, the first thing I want to do is I want to thank all of the people who've been listening to the show, both old and new, and thank you for giving us your time each week. And we're going to try to make a better show for you coming up in 2020. But on top of that, I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. And do yourself a favor over the holidays here, guys. You know, put down the paintbrush, put down the books, put down the models for a while, and go spend some time with your family. Go out with your friends. Go see the new Star Wars movie. Go to the movies in general. Go out to dinner. Have fun and enjoy the other aspects of your life, because you always want to make sure that you have a good game-life balance. So with that, all I can say is enjoy your holidays, enjoy your time with your friends and family, and we will see you in the new year.
Yeah. Great one. Great closing thought, man. That's a heck of a way to close the show. And I'd like to piggyback on that. You know, here we are, you know, our last show of 2019, and all of us here at Grimdark Live would like to thank you all for a great year. And this has really been a great year for Grimdark Live. And we look forward to being back next year on January 9th. We wish all of you a very Merry Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Festivus or Krampus or how the hell ever you spend an evening with spiked eggnog and a candy cane. We wish you the best on that. And so I guess we'll give you the proper ending, man. This is a great way to close the show.
Grimdark Live, I'd like to thank you for slumming it through another show with us for all things dice, dragons, demons, and a dwarf in the Age of Sigmar worlds. We'll be back live next Thursday, so until then, remember, roll them dice fun and fair, and don't be a frickin' short pants. If you missed the live show, you can catch us again right here on the next Grimdark Live podcast. Never fear, gang. There'll be more great content from Grimdark Live throughout the week with Monster Mondays, Table War Tuesdays, Warhammer Wednesdays, Grimdark Grudge Matches, and a ton more. So stay tuned and stay grim, all you dice chucking, glue sniffing gamer goons. You're all awesome.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Remember, embrace the main message here from Grimdark Live, and that's a social contract we have between gamers and the commitment we have to each other and this community. We're only as good as our last game. Check us out at GrimdarkLive.com. Don't forget to give our channel a like or subscribe if you haven't already done so. So long, Grimdark Goons. Until next time, may the dice gods bless you and your sweaty palms.